This evening, I'm going to be talking about the characteristics of life and death. And we're going to focus on Satan. We're going to focus on Jesus Christ this afternoon. We're sitting here in between services, and Gage and Landry were leading songs, and they were taking turns preaching. And Gage started preaching about the devil and God. And he said, there's no two people that are more different than the devil and God. And he said, you can only choose one to worship. You can only choose one of them. And he couldn't have been more right. And so I think I'd like to thank him for that, because that kind of added to my lesson a little bit, him saying that. So first, we're going to look at the devil. And these are just a few things that you can think of when you think of the devil. You can think of that the devil is your adversary. He's a roaring lion. He's a murderer. The list can go on and on. We could make multiple slides of ways to identify the devil. The other one is Jesus Christ. The same thing goes for him. You could make lists after list of names or of ways to that Jesus is known by and ways to identify him that you would recognize. So those are the two characters that we're going to be looking at and some of their characteristics. Obviously, the devil, he represents death, and he has the characteristics of death. Jesus Christ is obviously life, and he represents the characteristics of life. So first we're going to talk about death, and we're going to get our reading from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. It says here, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." This is a verse that I've heard tons of times in my life. I'm sure all of you have too. We've heard this time after time. And, you know, I believe that this is one of the very most important warnings that the Bible gives us. We're warned about the devil and what the devil, how he acts and how he tries to gain your soul and how the devil tries to attack you. It says that he is your adversary. It says that he's a roaring lion. He walks about and he seeks to destroy you. He seeks to devour your soul. The word adversary by definition is an opponent. Your arch enemy. To mean is Satan. Your arch enemy. So how is he described here in this verse? We've already named a few of these. He's a roaring lion. And he's described as seeking. And he's described as a devourer. You know, in the Bible, there's two ways that lions are talked about. They're talked about in one way as being bold, being very courageous, being very strong, in a good way, in a good sense. But this way, it's not talking about a Bible in a good sense. This isn't a good thing. This lion that the Bible talks about here in 1 Peter is a lion that wants to kill you, is a lion that wants to attack you whenever you're not ready for it. You know, Brenton's lesson this morning kind of goes along kind of well with mine, because he talked about the armor of God. And if you don't have on all that armor, this lion's going to attack you. Because this lion's waiting for a time whenever you don't have all your armor on. And he's watching all the time. He's watching and you don't know it. And he's waiting for you to be missing your shoe or your breastplate or your helmet. And that's whenever he attacks. And that's whenever he tries to devour you. So first we're going to look at how the devil seeks and how that lion seeks after you. You know, I think that seeking is a lot more than looking. I think there's a reason why that verse didn't say he's looking at you. He's looking to destroy you. He's looking to devour you. He's seeking after you. You know, in the last time I spoke, about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And it said in that passage of scripture, that shepherd diligently seeks after that the lost sheep. And the woman who lost her coin diligently seeked after that lost coin. And I think the devil does the exact same thing. Lions do the exact same thing whenever they're looking at their prey or when they're looking for their victim. They're diligently seeking. They're watching your every move. I think we know how that is. I was hunting yesterday evening and I seen a deer over there in some brush. And it was about at 4 o'clock. And I didn't take my eyes off of that brush for about 2 hours straight. I just stared over there. And that's how the devil is. That's how the lion does. Whenever he sees his prey, whenever he sees what he wants, he doesn't take his eyes off of it until he gets it. And that's why we need to have that armor of God like Brenton talked about this morning. And that's why we need to guard against this devil who's seeking so diligently after us. I got a few pictures of lines that we're going to look at. This one, it has 1 Peter 5 and 8 written on there. It's not in the King James Bible like I use. I believe that's New King James. But it shows a line. You can tell he's looking at something. He's going towards something. This is another line. See, he's down in the grass. And you can tell he's trying to go for something. He's trying to go towards something. Probably something that he wants to eat. And this is my favorite one. You see, the lion's hiding right here. It took me a little while. I thought it was just a picture of grass whenever I first saw this picture. But that's a lion. He's hiding in there. And he's waiting for you. And this is just like the roaring lion is the devil. You see, he's hiding in the grass. He's hiding and he's waiting for a time whenever you put your guard down. And that's whenever he jumps out and that's whenever he devours you. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10 it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." See, the thief here is obviously the devil. He wants to kill you. Just like that lion does that he's described as in those other verses. He's waiting to just destroy you. When you think of a lion devouring, you may think of a picture kind of like this. Or a picture kind of like this. And you see, those zebras, they're in trouble. Because the devil's right on top of them already. He's already pounced. See, he was hiding in the grass most likely right over here. He probably didn't just walk up and ask him if he can devour him. Because the zebra would obviously say no. See, you can tell that zebra doesn't want any part of this. Just like we shouldn't want any part of this. You know, whenever I see a picture like this, you may think that that's sad for the zebra. You may find it slightly humorous. But it's not funny anymore when you think, hey, I'm the zebra. And that's the devil that's right on top of me and he's trying to devour me. So these are the characteristics of the devil. See, he's very diligent when he's seeking for you. And he's very deadly whenever he finds you, whenever he finally decides to attack you. We're going to look at a couple other ways that you can describe the devil. Another couple characteristics of eternal death. One is deceit. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be..." I lost the rest of that. We're going to open up a Bible and finish reading the rest of that. I need one. We're going to continue reading. We're going to read verse 6 again. It says, "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So you see, I don't suspect that if the devil would have came up and told Eve the truth that she would have ate the fruit. She already knew the truth because God had told her the truth. God told her what would happen, and she knew it. You see, but the devil deceives her, the devil lies to her, and he says that if you can go ahead and eat that, God doesn't want you to be as gods. He doesn't want you to know these things. But she did it anyways because he convinced her that it would be alright. And you see, that's just like the lion does, you know. He's hiding in the grass, and he's trying to deceive you. He wants you to think that there's nothing there, there's nothing wrong with this picture. It's just a bunch of grass. And there's nothing hiding in there waiting to pounce on you like that zebra. But really, he's just deceiving you. Another characteristic that the devil has is he's very tempting. He likes to tempt people. In Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus saith unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus saith unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So this is one of the passages that Brenton used this morning when he was talking about temptation. And you see, the devil is so good at tempting people that he tempted Jesus. He tempted the Son of God. And if you don't think that he'll tempt you, you're wrong. If you don't think that he's not tempting you every day, you're wrong. And I tried to find a picture of a tempting lion, but that's impossible. None of them look tempting. You see, we're lucky that we have a Savior like Jesus Christ. He's smart enough to say, man should not live by bread alone. Because if Satan would have said that to me, I'd have said, here's bread. If I could have done what Jesus did, I would have made the bread. Just to show him that I could. But Jesus is smarter than that. You see, John chapter 8, verse number 44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So this is a characteristic of death. It's deceit, lying, temptation, one who seeks diligently to destroy you, one who devours. These are the characteristics of death. These are all the things you can use to characterize the devil. Put him in a category all on his own as wanting to destroy your soul. Next, we're going to look at life, which is Jesus Christ. And we're going to get our reading here from John chapter 14 and verse number 6. It says, "Jesus saith unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me." You know, this is a very popular verse. We sing it sometimes. It's been made into a song. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth, and he's the life. These are three points that we're going to look at. Jesus is the way. In John chapter 10 and verse number 9, it says, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." You know, until I read this verse, I didn't really think of Jesus as a door necessarily. You think of him being the way, but I didn't think of him as being the door. You see, Jesus is the door. And there's a lot of doors that you can open up in life. There's a lot of doors that you can go through, and they all lead to different places. But Jesus is the only door that leads to eternal life. He's the only door that when you open it, you're going to find the greener pasture and the place that you want to be. John chapter 3 and verse number 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You see, without God's willingness to send Jesus, this couldn't have been possible. We couldn't have life. We wouldn't even be having this discussion that Jesus is the characteristic of life. Without Jesus' willingness to go to the cross, we couldn't have this conversation. Without Jesus, we wouldn't have the way. And we wouldn't have this characteristic and this assurance of knowing that we have the way and that we know the way. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You know, there's few people that are going to find the door that Jesus is behind. Few people are going to be able to find that door and travel that path that is straight and narrow. But it's a lot better than the path where the lion's waiting on the outside, where the lion's waiting at every corner just to jump out and to devour you. Jesus is also the truth. In John chapter 1, verse number 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." John 17 and 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The very nature of Jesus is truth." So we got truth. We got grace by Jesus Christ. That's where we got our grace. That's where we got our truth. And then in John chapter 17, it says that the very nature of Jesus is truth. And his word is truth. But what is the word? The word in John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning the word was God, the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So since we know Jesus is truth, and that his word is the truth, and now we know God is the word. So God is the truth. We have this Bible that we read, it's the truth. And that's how we read about Jesus, and that's how we know that he's the way. And that's how we know that that's the door that we need to take. Lastly, we're going to look at how Jesus is the life. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Another thing that Gage said is there's only two ways to go. You're either going to have eternal life or you're not going to have eternal life. You can believe on God and you can have this characteristic and you can have eternal life, or you can choose not to. John chapter 6, verse number 35 says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You know, I strongly believe that Jesus wants you more than the devil wants you. And the devil wants you really bad. He's waiting, he's seeking diligently to pounce on you and to devour you. But Jesus wants you more than that. Jesus is willing to do more for you than that. See, Jesus says if you're hungry, you'll never be hungry again. If you're thirsty, you'll never be thirsty again. He'll give you eternal life. In closing today, I'd like to tell you to resist the devil. In James chapter 4, verse number 7, says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So to answer the invitation that we read about in the last verse, you can resist the devil. You can submit yourself to God. Once you do that, the devil won't want any more part of you. You see, the roaring lion wants to go after meat. The roaring lion wants to go after that. But you can put your armor on, as Brenton talked about this morning, and the devil won't want any more of that. He'll flee from you. Finally, I want to ask you to stretch your hand to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 14, it says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So when you fall down, when the devil tries to attack you, just stretch your hand to Jesus. He's going to be there, just like he was there for Peter. All you have to do is stretch out your hand. You have to resist the roaring lion, resist the devil. You have to seek the way. You have to seek for Jesus. All you have to do is reach out your hand to him and don't doubt him, because Jesus will be there. Sometimes we don't think he'll be there. Sometimes when you see the wind and when you see the waves, you get worried and you start doubting your faith. But Jesus will be there if you just trust in him.